Alamo, Avenge, I would like to add Carbine. We had to say goodbye to all those things because we could no longer use those tools. We went from growing and raising commodities up until then, which were beef and grain, to raising and growing food, chickens, turkeys, eggs, beef, pork. We looked at where we were, where we had come from, and where we were going, and we decided that we would have to change our attitude about how we raise food. We were given a long playing record back in 1979, and the title on the record was Bloom Where You're Planted. And that's become the philosophy that motivates what we do on our farm. The indigenous people believe that they are part of the environment. And the Amish, also as farmers, believe that they are part of the environment. They're not above it, they're part of it. So that was a whole new thing that we had to learn, is that in the old days we felt we did have dominion over, but when we changed to this other way of farming, we believe that we had to work within the constraints of the environment and cooperate. So we needed a new partner, and it wasn't a human or somebody with a lot of money. It was nature, the land. What we have to understand is that, and Wes Jackson talks about this in his book, Native to This Place. We live in the prairies, and to go out on the prairie and get down on your knees and see all the diversity and biodiversity, you start to realize that it's working. So maybe as farmers, we have to be diverse. So that's why we do so many things: poultry, pork, beef, custom raising, etc. Today, people are talking about the economy. We have to grow the market economy. Well, what we learned when we work with nature is that there's another economy out there. It's the economy of nature. And so nature's our partner. And if you know how partnerships work, if one side of the equation is doing really well and the other one isn't, it's not going to work. So we pay attention to our partner, and it's working. With regards to teaching, I probably got the idea of how we should teach what we're doing on our farm by following a vehicle that was from Missouri. At the bottom of the license plate, it says, the Show Me State. So we opened the doors of our farm to invite as many people who would like to come and see how we farm. And we want them to say, show me. We really don't believe you show us what you're doing in your land. So we do that. We believe, although our farm is inspected for its organic status, we believe the consumer, people that buy our food, eat our food, are the ultimate inspector. We've worked with community service learning students from Augustana here, also from the U of A in Edmonton, and although the professors here think that we're teaching them, Marie and I are learning a lot from them about the projects they're doing for us. One thing that I believe that we have to do on the land to respect the spirit is to bring peace to the land. We have to cooperate in the way that we farm. And over the years, what's motivated me to think about this and work at it harder is people have come for a tour, and at the end of the tour they say, we, or I, have felt peace while we've been on your land. So that's pretty darn good. We're really proud of that. Activism, while I grew up in the 60s, went to university, experienced the hippie movement and the protest movement. So people say, well, how do you protest? Well, instead of saying you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that, when people come to visit us, we show them how we care for the riparian areas. If they want to see the report card of how healthy our riparian areas are, we show them the work that Warren Fitch and his colleagues from Cows and Fish have done. Same with our pastures. Pastures have been, they've been checked over by the Cows and Fish people, and they've been scored. Trees, we planted lots of trees. Instead of saying that you shouldn't clear trees, We plant trees. And so the farm helps us tell our story. When people see the trees planted, they say, why? Well, habitat, biodiversity increases. Pollinators are really big on our radar screen right now because we've got colony collapse disorder in the honeybee population, but not many people realize it could also be happening with our native pollinators. And we believe that if we can increase, promote, maintain the spirit on our land, that we will have resilience on our farm, and that our farm, not only for us, for those that farm it in the future, will be there for the long haul. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. Our next speaker is Dakota Cohen. I'll let his words speak. Dakota writes, I had a dream about a year ago that I can only describe as life-changing. In this dream, I am an old man. No.
Probably should be reading this.
In this dream, I am an old man. Weary with age, but full of contentment, that permeates my every cell. I am on my own farm, or land, my home. It is dusk. I am gazing out over our land into the setting sun. I know it is time. I begin to walk out towards the brilliant sunset. After a time, I fall. My knees clasp the earth in my hands, and I begin to melt into the soil, merging with it. A sense of peace I have never felt before washes over me. I feel years pass, decades, ages. Seasons come and go, and I remain changing. When I wake, the feeling of absolute oneness lingers, and I now wait for the time when my last sun sets and I can return to my farm, my land, my home.
Hi, everyone. Sorry about that. I'd like to start from the place. Lauren Fitch mentioned earlier that Aldo Leopold said that nothing so important as a land ethic is ever written. It arises in the minds of a thinking community. I believe that this is true. However, I would add that I feel that it arises in the minds, hearts, bodies, and spirits of a thinking and feeling community. So, I'd like to share just an example of how I feel about our land. So, I'd like you to all imagine someone in your life who you love very much, preferably someone who's older than you, who has a position of an elder or a teacher in your life, perhaps a grandmother or an aunt. And when I think of a grandmother like this, I think of my nanny, and I think my uncle said it best when he described her as the great provider, because she's always doing things for everyone else. If you go over for Christmas dinner or for Thanksgiving, she just gives and gives and gives and never asks for anything in return. So imagine that feeling of just abundance and gift from that person. And just sit with that for a while. That nothing you can do is wrong, or that you are enough. And now I want you to imagine driving over your grandmother with a D9 cat, tearing her skin off, bulldozing her trees into piles of windrows, setting them alight to clear land for grain, and then driving over that land with a 450-horse quad-track diesel tractor, pulling an 80-foot air seeder and a tank of anhydrous ammonia, injecting nitrogen at concentrations so high into the soil that it literally eviscerates earthworms and other microbes and life in the soil. Or removing a mountaintop, tearing off your grandmother's head to get to her belly where you think something good resides. I see and feel the land as a living, breathing, compassionate entity. As such, I feel compelled to work with the land the same way you would a loved one, your grandmother. Observing, listening, communicating, and developing a mutually beneficial relationship that grows more fertile every year.